Yo, we're shaking, everybody. Now we press play on that. Today's theme, Yu Yu Hakusho, one of my favorite animes of all time. Y'all know I'm a huge anime fan. Shout out to everybody who's tuning in so far. I'm a huge anime fan. Shout out to my cousin, Kwasi. He's the person who watched anime. He put me on the anime. What's up? What's up, Brandon? How you doing, man? You good? You straight? You sure? Yes. Anyways. Oh, man. What's up, everybody tuning in, man? I appreciate y'all, man. Once again, State of New York Knicks podcast, man. Andy, I appreciate you, man. First comment. Appreciate you. I always appreciate the first comment. Today is a good day, and shouts to everybody who's just tuning in. Obviously, you know, I always have to have anime playing behind me. Every single live stream will have some type of anime being played behind me. Obviously, shouts to my guy, OBXB, my guy, Rico, Munch. Shouts to Munchie. I actually got a, shouts to Belchaz too. I actually got a Kingdom goddamn jersey somewhere. But, shouts to my guy, Rico, man. It's the Dapper Dan hat. Got on the I Rather Hustle joint, the gold joint. Shouts to my guy Rico. I got on this nice Unseen jacket, man. My guy Mike, man. Everything Harlem, man. So I appreciate those guys. But today is a special episode because I got a guy who is known in the Memphis community. This guy, he actually created the Knicks thread. He's also a Knicks fan, but this guy knows the Memphis Grizzlies. He actually lives in Memphis right now, which is crazy. And it's the guy who created the Knicks thread. You know that famous little thread on Knicks Twitter where it's been going on forever. It's been going on for years. This guy's the man who created this Knicks thread. And it's crazy because Memphis everything, right? With that said, I got my guy in the building, my guy Ed, Memphis. My guy, what's up, man? What's up, man? You finally in the building, man. I appreciate you pulling up too. I appreciate you pulling up, man.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me. You hear me? I have no fear. My business is here. You hear me?
You got that accent, man. It's that accent, boy. That accent, man. Let's start off bright and fast, right? Memphis. The first thing that comes to my mind is culture. The Southern accent. Every time you hear, I hear one of you guys, even I had a guy today on Spaces, Memphis dude, I forgot his goddamn name too. I can't think of this guy's name right now, but he from Memphis, he a Grizzlies fan. You can hear the accent as soon as he speaks. When you hear Memphis, what's the first thing you think of?
Hustle. Well, you know what? Yeah, hustle, man. Hustle. And I mean in the sense of just the spirit of people, you know. A lot of people don't know, you know, Jim Crow. Yeah, a lot of the, you know, the Jim Crow laws and shit was created down here in Memphis, actually. So I live downtown, right up the street from me, like literally walking this. I can walk right over here to it. It's a street called A.W. Willis. It used to be called Auction Street when I was growing up. On that street, they used to sell the slaves, or at least the auction slaves, enslaved people. That strength, the blood of the slaves that we have and the hearts of kings that we have, shout out to Nas for that quote, going back to New York. Man, that represents us, bro, still to this day. And that's not just even with the blacks, but that's even with the whites, bro. Everybody, because even with the whites, they got a real blue collar mentality. And it really resonates here. So amongst all the people, man, no matter what color you are. So you know, definitely that hustle, grit and grind. Yep.
You wanna know so crazy when you said grit and grind? Like the first person that came to my mind was Tony Allen. Like grit and grind, that culture, that great culture. So let's start it off with, where you from in Memphis, man? You know, what's the culture like? You know, what is culture to you in Memphis? What is the best food in Memphis? Let's start off there. Where was you born? Where did you grow up? What inspired you to do what you do today? And you know, what inspired the it ain't me, man? What inspired that name for the podcast? Because I know it's something from down south. I know it's some down south flavor. So, you go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you know, born in Memphis, over there at St. Francis Hospital, East Memphis, y'all know where it is. So I'm from all over Memphis to be exact, but I'm North Memphis by trade. Meaning I got the hustle, the ethics, the principles, you know, just the mentality of the tendencies of North Memphis. Meaning that's where I mostly grew up. That's where I spent most of my life at. That's where I'm from. That's where I got my culture and my upbringing at. That's where I learned life. And that's also where I learned the game too. That's where I first stepped off the porch yet. So, but I'm from all over though. I went to high school in Germantown. So I lived out that way. Shout out to the G. I was out there in the G when it wasn't cool. You know, like, you know, it wasn't cool to brag about it. You know, so shout out to the G. Shout out to Germantown. My boy is at my, actually got a son out there playing football out there and there. So shout out to them, the Red Devils. But yeah, man, grew up all over the city, bro. I live down in the bottom in Coral Lake, Westwood area, over there near Voodoo Village, all of that. Lived in Whitehaven, man, Raleigh, Fraser, man, Smoky City, went to elementary over there, man. Went to about 10 schools in Memphis, all over the city. Was getting board suspensions everywhere. So definitely know my way around the city, bro, as far as the experience of it and the ins and outs of it, the nuances, the politics of the city. And one thing about Memphis, bro, this is you know, a lot of people think of us for the rap, but man, historically, you know, this is a soulful city. You know, this is a city of soul, a lot of culture in terms of soul music, soul food, soul lifestyle, in terms of the pimping and a lot of other things that go into the soul lifestyle. I don't want to make that the first thing you mentioned when you mentioned the soul culture, but just the irony of it too. You know, you have the influence of it, the information, the education of soul and our essence of our culture, and then the irony of it too. You know, pimping, but not when we say pimping down here, it ain't necessarily in the sense of you know what mainstream media may think of it. Man, it's more of the soul culture we got in our community in the streets. So, you know, that's really, you know, that's our economics here, whether we like it or not, that's the truth. You know, that's what that's a lot of our economics here. So we, yeah, man, you know, shit. Memphis is a city, brother, that represents a lot of soul, bro, a lot of grit, and a lot of creativity too, bro, because by us not having a lot of opportunities, we have to create a lot. You know, we ain't have no record labels or no film studios or none of that. So, you know, we had to create our own and really sell it out to Trump. Really, you know, really get out here and really come up with our own moves and distribution and opportunities to get our shit out to the people. So, yeah, man, we definitely, man, we one of them cities, bro, where I definitely can say soul is the first thing I think about our city, bro, in general.
Yo,
hope they weren't too worried.
Now, this might be off topic, but the hell with it. Any famous Black activist leaders from Memphis that you could talk about? You know, because I heard you brought up, you know, the topic on slaves. You know, that's a touchy subject. But I know a person like you. We've had previous conversations on the Twitter thread about certain things. Is there any historical, you know, happenings in Memphis that happened in the past, civil rights movement, Black Panthers, anything of that nature that you could talk about as far as that's connected to Memphis?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You got the late, great Dr. Benjamin Hooks. He's actually from here. He was really big in terms of being involved in the civil rights movement from, you know, from the 50s and 60s on up until his passing, really up until the end. He also has a church, big church congregation. You also have the late, great Bishop G. Patterson of Battle for Blessings. Very big. He's actually was the head of the Kojic denomination in Christianity. So he was actually the leader of that. So, or at least, you know, one of the, you know, so I don't know what his title was, but I know he was the head of it. They would actually come here out of all places and meet. And when he passed, they left, you know, Memphis. So he's a big part of the civil rights movement as well. And then not even just that, Memphis itself, its location was a big part of it, right? Because Memphis was the central point in terms of the country. So where the north and the south and the middle.
Ed, I want you to finish explaining. Give me like 5 minutes. I want you to finish explaining though. Give your full take though. But give me like 5 minutes. Cause I gotta help my cousin in the front real quick.
Okay, big, cool.
Thank you.
All right.
No, go ahead though, because continue explaining your
point. Oh, okay, yeah, got it.
It's so much your show now. I'm gonna do this to myself. I'm gonna just help my little cousin real quick. Go ahead.
All right, so yeah, man, in terms of our city, the location itself, right? It's not just the individuals, but the city itself is a central point in terms of the geography and the logistics of America. So, you know, then you got, of course, you got people like Bossman E.H. Crump, who was heavily influential in terms of the economy in the early 1920s, the 20th century, and in terms of the turn of the 20th century leading to the end of the, going into the 21st century. So you got cats like that, who is a white guy, who was a businessman, wasn't necessarily a politician, ran for mayor, but actually was mayor for a while, but nevertheless was extremely influential in terms of the economy of the Southeast region and really the East Coast, to be honest with you, in a lot of ways. You got a lot of, and then just the city itself, as I was explaining earlier, Jim Crow, the Jim Crow laws and everything were originally created right here in Memphis, Tennessee. The slave auction trade itself, in terms of bringing slaves into this part of the country, and logistics coming off that boat, in terms of where everybody would meet up, a good meeting up point that wasn't too far, it was convenient enough for everybody, was Memphis, Tennessee. So that's where, you know, then we have the Mississippi River, which I live right here on the river, which is, you know, very important and pivotal in terms of the logistics of the economy in terms of early America and its establishment. So not even just the slavery trade, but also just economics in general. Your goods, you know, transporting. So just everything in general, along those lines, the Mississippi River was used for back then, even before the trains and things were put into place. So, so of course we sit on it. So it's perfect. Everybody from the Midwest, East Coast, up north, down south at the bottom, even out west, they get to the Mississippi River, and here we are sitting right here. So meeting right here in the middle. We're right below, right in the middle in between everybody. So this was a great place for them to set up shop in terms of a lot of economics and exchange market. So actually, believe it or not, the first grocery store in American history was created here in Memphis. It was Piggly Wiggly. They were the first ones to invent the in-store grocery store concept of people coming inside and purchasing their goods versus it being a market where you walked up and purchased your goods on the streets at the sidewalk from a kiosk stand up. Piggly Wiggly were the first ones to create an in-store brick and mortar facility that actually housed the groceries where you came in store and purchased your goods. So we're definitely a very essential part of American history and their result. Like I said, as far as the Jim Crow laws, man, Nathan Bedford, one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan, was from this area right outside of Memphis. So, of course, a lot of the business that they did, everything that they did, they met up here. So, like I said, man, I live on the street here. I grew up on this street right here. I can walk to it and be there. I can walk while we on the interview and be there in a few minutes. It used to be called Auction Street. And that's where they used to actually auction all the enslaved Americans coming in, or enslaved people of our people coming in off the boat from the east coast, from the Atlantic Ocean. So this was the great meeting point for New York, or the up north area, the East Coast, the Midwest, the West, the Southwest, the Southeast. You all can meet up right here in the middle. Boom, center point, Memphis. So this was very essential in terms of transport with economics and goods in American history. So definitely very important. That's why FedEx is set up here. And of course, you know, FedEx was started here. So that's one of the reasons why. So we definitely played a very essential point in terms of, and with that, a lot of people came here throughout the Civil Rights Movement history. That's why the sanitation boycott was organized and decided to be set here, because it was a great meeting point for all the activists to come here and be able to protest for this particular city's sanitation issues, or sanitation workers' lack of respect and lack of fair labor laws. So, definitely very important, man. You know, it's a reason why they set that up here, man. As far as the Civil Rights Museum and really being the face of the Civil Rights Movement, really a lot of it, you know, in a lot of ways is here, because this is the center point of it. So, culture
upon just strictly hip hop, where do you think Memphis stand with the hip hop culture? And what effect did Memphis have on rap culture, hip hop as a whole? And can you give us some historical Memphis rap legends, or even jazz legends, any kind of legend, rock, doesn't even matter, bro. But can you give us some of those, please?
Yeah, of course you got, you know, Aretha Franklin was born here. You know, she grew up in Detroit. You got so many, man. B.B. King, of course, Elvis, everybody knows that. Jerry Lee Lewis, of course. Man, you got so many musicians, man. Even today, in terms of what's in hip-hop, of course, your Jazzy Faze, your Milf Hits, your K. Michelle's. I'm just naming people that a lot of people don't obviously know they from Memphis. Probably, well, even K. Michelle, you know, she's obviously from the hill. But even with wrestling, right? So The Rock, when The Rock first got his wrestling career started, it was here in Memphis, because we were like the minor leagues for the wrestling, for the WWE. So when guys were first coming up, all of the stars that y'all, all of them essentially, because Hulk Hogan, they all came up through here and did they stint here at some point, like a G League type of deal. That was Memphis Wrestling. So, and shout out to Jerry Lee Lawler and Bill Dundee and all of them. Jerry Lee Lawler is from Memphis, of course. That's one of the commentators of WWE. It's a lot as far as music. Of course, you got all the rappers. As far as our influence today in terms of rap, now we got the most influence of any other city in the country right now, easily. I mean, I was just looking at today. I posted this on my Twitter. Kanye had Project Pat on the album. And if you look at a lot of the artists today, Pat's flow, his cadence, is the standard for most hits today in hip-hop, especially in terms of a real, you know, street, herb, what's popping today in terms of street news. So yeah, man, you got them. Shit, I'm an artist myself, and I've had a couple of songs that stuck on radio for a little while and made a little waves already online and whatnot. So I got to put my little work in there in some little way, even though it's continuously growing and building over time. So I'm a newer artist in that respect. I ain't no old school artist. But yeah, man, you got your Player Flash, your 3-6, your Yo Gotti's, your Glorillas, your Dolphs, of course, your Key Glocks, your Big 30s, your Big Scars. It's so many of the artists today that's popping today that's actually from Memphis. I mean, if you look at 1017 roster, which is Gucci Mane label, hell, 90% of the artists on his label are from Memphis. That's all he signed is Memphis Cat. So, you know, Memphis niggas. So when he looking for artists, he start here first. And then once he get all he can get here, then he'll think of another market to go to. So this show you the influence when Atlanta first option in terms of signing artists today, they come here and they don't pick one first. They pick every artist they can afford for their budget roundup. And then they think of any other artists with what's left over. So that says a lot in terms of the influence of Memphis today in hip hop.
Okay.
I hope that answered the question well enough.
Nah, I did, man. I just want to make sure that you got your whole thought process out. I don't want to interrupt, so that's why I mute myself. I want to be respectful. You get what I'm saying? So, because I want people, you know, I'm from Harlem, so I want people to try to get a vibe of what Memphis is like, even before we get into like the sports talk. I think that's very important.
Coincidentally, not the I don't know if I we a lot like Harlem. Very much so, man, because we're flashy, as you can see, you know. This, you know, loud shit talking, spit swallowing, you know what I'm saying, type of culture. You know what I'm saying? We fly, we rock a certain way. You see me, I got the way you do vote. You know what I'm saying? We don't give a fuck with nobody talking about. We don't care about what another nigga say. Your bitch gonna jock it. I bet you your bitch gonna chew. You know what I mean?
That's the shit I want to hear, man. I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody who definitely pulled up in the chat too, especially to the ladies, man. Shout out to Nakaya. Shout out to Nakaya, man. Appreciate you, man. Kev, Breezy Brown, Audi. Appreciate you, the first person that pulled up in. Knockouts by Nakaya. Y'all appreciate it, y'all. Appreciate all of y'all, man. Oh my God, D came in. Kev, I see you, King. D Block, Shannon, man, I appreciate that, man. Appreciate that. Another thread member, appreciate that, man. Yo, this was pre-planned by me personally. I knew I wanted Ed to come on to my podcast, but I wanted him to be like a regular member because I know it's always stuff to talk about, especially like things outside of sports that be happening in Memphis. So, you know, Ed is a good guy. And This was my, you know, handshake the egg right here, basically. Memphis High School college basketball. Famous players from Memphis, high school or college. And what do the Memphis Tigers mean to that community? Because I know you talk about them a lot, bro. So I want you to talk about that.
Oh man, that show you right there. That is that important that it got a chance to come up in conversation on Twitter. But Penny, of course, Penny Hardaway is your first, you know, first person we think of, first person. I'm trying to think of other than Penny, who's the next biggest person born and raised from Memphis. Damn, that's fun.
I don't even know. I ain't gonna shit you.
A lot of other NBA players, but it wasn't nobody that, you know, weren't talking about on no podcast type shit, you know. I hope I don't get beat up for saying that to see anything CBS cash say or something, beat the dog shit out of them. But my shit, Penny, that's about it. Shit, I'm trying to think of somebody else. God damn. Lorenzen Wright, of course. Rest in peace, Lorenzen Wright. I'll be forgetting about Red because Red passed. But yeah,
Lorenzen Wright, I remember him.
Yep. Yeah, Lorenzen was a real one too, man. Real dude, bro. Real mover and shaker in the city. He made a lot of shit happen. Yeah, he made a lot of shit happen, bro. So, but as far as the Memphis Tigers, both of those guys, of course, went and played at the Memphis Tigers too for college. But yeah, man, the Memphis Tigers, bro, they mean so much to our city. That's the one thing that bring Black and white people together here. You know, it's crazy because in terms of, you know, and I don't want to get too far into that conversation, but it's truth, you know, it's really prevalent here to a certain degree. You know, de facto segregation is still a big thing. You know, everybody living their own, you know, worlds or whatnot in the city, but which is probably a lot different from New York. You know, it's nothing for y'all to live next to somebody of a different race. Down here, you know, Blacks in this neighborhood, you know what I'm saying, whites in this neighborhood. So, one thing about the Memphis Tigers, they bring everybody together, no matter what demographic, older white, younger white, older Black, my age of the younger Black, which is the more mature, younger crowd, all of us, they bring it all together. So they're extremely important. And Penny means a big deal to this city in terms of, I know y'all might see me on the timeline. Y'all might see me be critical of Penny and talk a little shit, be frustrated at times. But never mistake my understanding of his value to our community. This man has helped so many homes, so many families. Paid for so many kids to get developed and training and meet with NBA players and train with them. Stuff he had no business doing in terms of obligation. And he would go out of his way to do this for almost every kid he could come across that was serious about playing ball. Even if they weren't NBA caliber. Because so many of Penny's kids, it was clear that they were not NBA players. One of Penny's favorite players of all time, it was always clear he was never gonna be an NBA player. And Penny went out of his way to do so much for kids like that. So that's how you know somebody genuinely doing something from the core of their soul. You understand what I'm saying? When they are investing a lot into kids who clearly are not going no pro, but this kid exemplifies leadership. He genuinely cares, wants to be something, even though he ain't an NBA player. Right now, he's useful enough in basketball to where we can utilize this, but also help him so much in terms of where he's going. Penny did a lot of that, does a lot of that in the city, to his fault, to be honest with you. In a lot of ways, Penny promised stuff too much, and that's why he struggled this season. At one point, we were ranked top 10 in the nation, and here we are right now. I don't know what's going to happen with Selection Sunday. It's going on right now, but I don't even know if we're making the tournament because he was too nice to a fault. When he, you know, coming from the streets, Penny from the streets, you know, it's things of, you know, Penny kind of almost like Jay-Z in a bit, and just play ball instead of rapping. Because, you know, dude really from the community. He really grew up amongst the people. You know what I'm saying? Really participated in terms of giving back to the community and being involved with the people. So yeah, man, and the Tigers are the program in terms of ball. See, the Grizzlies didn't come to the city until April, I think, of 2001. Right, I was like 13 and a half, it'll be 14 in my ears. I was grown considering what I was doing at that age. But with the Grizzlies, before the Grizzlies came here, which was 2001, the Memphis Tigers was our team. We ain't had no football team, NFL. And our college team was never nothing worth watching, ever. So the only thing that gave us any hope of success in competitive sports was the Memphis Tigers. So that's for 50 years or whatever, that carried our sports culture here. So imagine it. So that's what you, when you ask about it, you're talking about a city of a million people roughly in terms of all the suburban markets surrounding. And that's the source of entertainment for everybody.
Yo, I appreciate that. Shout out to Eru. He's actually here in the background. That's the reason why you see me like looking at somebody talking. But I'm multitasking. I'm doing like five things at one time. You know, I'm listening to my guy Ed talk that Memphis talk. I'm looking at the chat. I'm in my phone. I'm making sure I got the questions lined up. This shit is difficult, yo. I'm not going to hold you up. This shit is mad difficult. So this is why, like, now my perfect rule, and I do not, like, break this rule at all. I have no negativity during workouts. Like, none. Even if you try to be negative with me, I block you. Like, I don't go through that nonsense no more. Because, yo, you need a straight, you need a clear mind when you do like this, what we doing right now, podcasting, writing Reddit posts, interacting with other fans, going to events. I seen you at an event recently. I definitely want you to talk about that. And this event that you got recently, that you was at recently, can you talk to the fans about it? Where was you at in this event?
Last night I was at Scarface concert, by the way, but which was amazing, stupid crowd, everything. But the night before that, we was at the Grizzlies MVP party, which is for season ticket holders. So they rented out the zoo, the Memphis Zoo here, which is one of the biggest zoos in the country too, by the way. We got a lot of rare animals and pandas and stuff, which a lot of people know a lot of animals in general that they don't have anywhere else other than maybe China and stuff. So they rented out the Memphis Zoo, and at the Memphis Zoo, all the players was there: John Morant, Derrick Rose, Desmond Bane, Jared Jackson, Gigi Jackson, everybody. The coach, of course, you saw me taking a pic with him. I caught a pic of Jared Jackson when he was standing over there talking and stuff with us. I ain't want to stand in no line. I ain't been doing it. When there's a lot of people, I'm talking about the lines was crazy to get in line to take a picture with dudes. So, I'm talking about, 200 people in line to get these pictures. So, I wasn't finna do that. So, I catch them another time. So, it was definitely off the chain, man. It was a great experience in terms of being able to kick it with the players and stuff. Like, they played cornhole with us and stuff. They played foosball with us. They got up and talked. They did the 360 camera thing with us. They signed autographs. Shout out to Zach Randolph. Zach Randolph was there, by the way. Oh my God, how do I not mention Zach Randolph? It's crazy. Zach Randolph.
Shout out Zach.
Man, when you talking about, he's not from our city, but he from our city. Zach was already a big figure in our city before he was even traded. So much so that it was crazy when he actually got traded. He was like, wow, they actually traded him here? So he just as a person who was always been involved in our city. You know, Zach Randolph owns Endless Records, which is what, you know, Moneybagg Yo is, right?
Yep.
You know, Moneybagg Yo is signed to Zach Randolph.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that's who helped put him out before anybody.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and Zach plays a big deal in partnering with Yo Gotti and they label. So he does a lot of, he partners with them a lot. Zach's label is actually Real Deal. You know what I'm saying? Big 30. I don't know if you know who that is. Big 30.
I know who Big 30 is. My man's been playing Big 30. I know exactly who Big 30 is.
That's Zach Randolph artist.
Oh, okay. Okay.
trying to think of who else, man. It's a few, respectfully. I don't want to miss out on nobody. But yeah, Zach, you talking about somebody who used to, in December, he would come and just pay, like go down to the local light company. Because we're a regulated state, so it's only one light place for everybody in terms of utilities. Light, gas, and water is all handled by one facility. So he would go down there and put, you know, $20,000-$30,000 on light bills, paying people light bills off every Christmas. All the give backs, events and stuff that he continuously does here to this day. So he was at this event, and he had already had a booth signing autographs and doing pictures. The other players, they were tired, so they was, you know, some of them would do it, but some of them wouldn't. I understood why. It was a lot. So Zach, however, even while walking, Zach would still stop and take pictures and autographs and video, not just sign his signature, say what you want on it to everybody walking. I mean, it was constantly people walking up. Everywhere he'd go, people would just crowd him where he had to stop right there again and do it. So, man, shout out to Zach, man. You're talking about one of the realest cats, bro, that ever lace up. One of the greatest in terms of not just will bust your ass on the court or even knock your ass out on the court, but also what he did in the community in cities he don't even live. He's not even from here. Man, shout out to Zach Randolph. So I want to say that.
Yo, that's dope. That's dope. And then I think that's a perfect segue. Shout out to Shannon, who's actually participating a lot in the chat. A lot of you, man. I appreciate all of you guys, man.
What's up, Shannon?
Yo, Shannon, what's up, man? And
going hard for the RJ, Ma.
Shout out to RJ, my condolences.
Shout out to RJ, baby. Shout out to RJ.
RJ, I love the RJ, man. Shout out to you, Shannon.
He having a hell of a year now that he even got traded.
We're going to talk about that. How did you become a... All right, so how did you become a Memphis Grizzlies fan? That's where I started first.
Oh, man. Lorenzen Wright, bro. Lorenzen Wright. Lorenzen Wright was the one they put on it. I was like 13 and a half, 14, 13, or something like that, 14, somewhere there. Lorenzen Wright did that announcement, man. Well, for one, because it was our first sports team, pro sports team we ever had. We had the Titans for a season, but we always knew they were going to Nashville, and it just, you know, it was a bad situation, which is crazy because I'm a diehard Titans fan too. But anyway, the Grizzlies came here, bro. That was our first. That's the first thing we ever had. Now, mind you, I was already a diehard Knicks fan by then, by the time the Grizzlies got here. The Knicks are the ones who made me really become a real sports fan terms of keeping up with stats, niggas' positions, how much you weigh, what you supposed to be doing, all that type of shit. It was the Knicks who made me, who generated that type of intrigue and buzz, you know, from a young fella like myself. So, yeah, when the Grizzlies got here, I had to have two teams. Now, I know some people, oh, man, you got two teams, man, fuck you. I'm a fan. This is my fandom. And I'm going to treat my experience how I want to treat it. I'm a big boy. I feel like I can handle being a fan of two teams. Fuck is you talking about? So, as I always said, you don't like it, fuck you, feed you dog food. But anyway, so I always had that second, when the Grizzlies came, they became that second love for me. Really to the point where it's a split love. Like I got a polygamy relationship with the Knicks and the Grizzlies.
Yo, you crazy, man. Yo, you crazy, man. But it makes sense though, right? Because Memphis, what year did Memphis, Vancouver move over to Memphis again?
2001, like April, May 2000, like June, actually. It was June 2001.
Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes sense when you say, you know, I'm a diehard Knicks fan, but then we got our first professional sports basketball team. How can I not be a fan of this team? You get what I'm saying? Yeah, okay.
Mind you, we ain't got shit, man. Don't nobody, we don't, ain't no movies film here, all that, none of that shit, bro. The shit that's nothing to y'all, that shit mean the world to us. You know what I'm saying? So a professional sports team, nigga, that's almost like giving water to Africa. What are you talking about?
Oh, God. Who's the so before we get, you know, before we get into the Knicks, obviously, who's the best Memphis player you've ever seen? Top three Memphis players of all time.
Ooh, Jimmy Snap Hunter, Penny Hardaway. Damn. And I'm stuck between.
Doesn't matter the sport though.
I mean, I guess if technically if wrestling is a sport, Jerry Lawler.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gotta put Lawler in there.
All right, cool. So now let's get into the current Memphis Grizzlies. They stink, right? But they're in a down season, so they don't necessarily stink, right? You're actually just retooling for a season, right? These are things that happens to teams when they go through devastating injuries. So, you know, off the top of my head, pause. The three questions that, you know, I think people are curious about, then we could definitely get into the Knicks talk is, the first question, Ja Morant, how did you feel about the whole gun situation? And, his injury now and how he's out for the season, how you feel about him? Because I know he's a superstar, he's young, you know, make dumb fucking mistakes. But at the same time, when you are black and you're in the limelight, shit is magnified on you a little bit stronger. So how you feel about Ja and Ja Morant, his leadership, and also how you feel about his season and the injury too? That season and the injury basically hampered y'all season. You know, a couple of things. Just talk about the current Memphis team. You know, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane. You know, he's been hurt this season on and off. The arrival of G.G. Jackson, young boy, one of the youngest players. I think he's the youngest player in the NBA currently. You know, the point guard situation, the coach.
He's actually younger than Bronny.
Oh shit, damn. And wow, that's crazy. And the coach, Finch looks like a guy I pass them some rolling papers and tell them roll up some weed, bro.
Now you talking about Taylor Jenkins?
Taylor Jenkins, my fault. Yeah, Taylor Jenkins. Yeah. Yeah. Talk about your current Memphis Memphis team and how you feel about them before we even get to the Knicks.
Yeah, man. So, you know what I like about our team is where our leadership is. At least one thing when it's all said and done, we got Ja Morant and we got Desmond Bane. So that's where it all starts. And then now we got Gigi. So those are three games. And then we also at least we have a foundational front court piece, a core front court piece in terms of Jaren Jackson too. So that's at least a good thing to go off of, and he's an all-star as well. So, but you know, one thing I always say, if you go back, I like to go off of historical precedents, meaning what does history normally say about the situation? So in terms of historical precedents, if your team can't make the playoffs without your franchise player, I feel like it's not fair to ask that same player to go win a championship with that team when he does get back. If they can't make the playoffs without him, they probably not no contender team even will. So that's what I have to say about our team in the grand scheme. And mind you, I'm a two-ticket season holder. Whatever the fuck you want to call that shit. So I definitely support them. So I'm not being negative. But then again, I am. I don't give a fuck. It is what it is. Because I'm not happy this year. I didn't invest in it. It wasn't what I planned on. I thought I was getting a steal. Turned out they got the steal. Shit, his games, I don't even show up. Motherfucking tickets don't even get scanned. I can't show. I ain't even go to the Wizards and the Hornets. I'm not going to that shit. Y'all got the motherfucking hustle on the floor. Ain't no way I'm showing up for this shit. Man, kiss my ass. I'm not even wasting my gas driving 2 miles over to the stadium to do this shit. So, we got some work to do because when he come back next year, if this the same exact team, then shit, I already know we ain't winning no motherfucking championship. And I'm at that point now, we ain't winning no championship, it's a problem. I don't want to do green grind again. I'm good on that green grind 2.0 shit. Green grind got us to the Western Conference playoff, and we got swept by the Spurs playing pick and roll defense and pick and roll offense. They pick and roll us on offense, and they 2-3 zone us to death on defense, forced us to shoot the ball. We were out in 4 motherfucking games in the Western Conference Finals. That's as far as they went. Shout out to the Green Grind because they established the identity in terms of the Memphis Grizzlies. They were the first ones to create an identity for their franchise. So no disrespect to them, but we passed it. This supposed to be next gen. We supposed to be progressing, not being stagnant. And now you in a day and age where small market teams are winning championships. So their argument that a small market team can't win a championship is not as prevalent no more. It's a little, you can call bullshit on it a little more often now than you could back in the day. So good thing about us, first thing I will say, you know, I had to rock, you know, I got the Versace on. So I had to make sure I had the Ja Morant, you know, our superstar. In our market, you know, he got sneakers and shit with Nike. You know what I'm saying? So I had to make sure I rocked that so your boys can see that. You know what I'm saying? Since y'all won't be having nothing like that no time soon. Because I ain't nobody on y'all team in terms of their market. I'm a Knicks fan too. I'm just saying in terms. I'm just fucking with trolls. We talking shit. Ain't nobody on the team in New York getting no sneaker deal. Ain't nobody buying no Julius Randles. Ain't nobody buying no Josh Harts. Ain't nobody buying no Jalen Brunson. But hey, how these look?
you talking that shit? I ain't gonna lie. I I'm gonna go get some Julius Randles next week.
Ooh! I want you to rock him in the club. And I want you to take pictures and study shit.
Oh shit! Yeah, man. Oh god. Going into the summer, I gotta say, going into the summer, who would you want the Memphis Grizzlies to trade for? Because remember, we was having a debate. Remember the debate that we was having. I want to touch on this, and then I guess, you know, this last. The last part, we could just strictly talk about the Knicks, because I want really to like get in tune with the Memphis culture, get in tune with other cultures of outside of the Knicks culture, and get in tune with like the mindset of people from different places. So I appreciate you pulling up to the pod, Ed.
I will say this. I don't know if I can slide this in there to what you just said.
Go ahead.
I love Al Market, but it is a big difference, as you saw when you came into one of the spaces recently. Shout out to my boy Grindhouse, EJ's Grindhouse Spaces. But the people here, see, like when you're in the Knicks spaces, motherfuckers can really go live. Motherfuckers can really turn up. And when it's all said and done, that shit is what it is. Motherfuckers might make songs about each other, all this dope shit, which is just beautiful. I love it that we can do all this and ain't nobody fighting or none of that shit in person, pulling out no weapons or none of that goofy shit. We can let all this shit out and know that we have a stopping point. That's beautiful. But the fact that so much of it, like motherfuckers made diss songs, bro. Y'all making this reckless, bro. The level of fandom, it's unbelievable, bro. We don't have that here. I'm the bad guy here. I'm you in this market. I'm State Memphis in this market.
Oh, God.
And I'm about the only one. There's a few other cats that's rocking with me that be in the spaces, but I'm the only one that's stepping out there, you know, creating their own content with this shit. Running with it. Fuck them. Leaning in on it. I was just that type of guy, so fuck you. Somebody got to do it. So I just wanted to say that's the difference between us down here. So I come up there when I want to listen to motherfuckers just keep that shit. And I just want to hear a room full of motherfuckers that's just apes like me. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers is ready to rip your fucking shit off if you ain't solid. You know what I'm saying? So I love it.
Oh, man. This been a goodie so far, man. Hey, man. I appreciate that, man. Get into this Memphis roots, man. I got to go to Memphis one day, man. What outside looking in though, Memphis dangerous as hell, dog. You know, just outside looking in.
It is. But shit, it's dangerous up there too. So it's straight. You know what I'm saying? It's straight. It depends on where you at and how you move. If you come down here, you can come get up with me, man. You ain't gotta get no spot. You ain't gotta get to just pull up. Let me know you coming. I'll make sure we got a room made for you, everything. You good, bro. You know what I'm saying? So, absolutely, bro. It's love down here. You know what I'm saying? Show you around the city. Take you to some good food spots. You know what I'm saying? Take you to some different spots and shit in the city, different moments in time and whatnot. You know, let you get a taste of what the life like here. Then when I come back to New York again, you know, maybe we can have a similar exchange. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Pull up to the liquor store, man. We could chop. We could definitely chop it up, man. I'll buy you a chopped cheese or something, man. Or I'll bring you some shrimp linguine or something, man.
I want that chopped cheese.
I got you, man.
Yeah, well, I'm Birdman, rubbing that, thinking about that chopped cheese, Jack.
Oh, man. Hey, man, appreciate you, man. Appreciate the chat, too, man. Y'all guys, man, actually holding us down with the beautiful comments, man. I love everything what y'all doing, man. You know, I got the Versace on, man. Shouts to Shannon, State Memphis. You know, Dow, he in the building. He said he was going to go get some food and shit, man. I got another
live. Make sure they see the V-curl, man. Everybody tell everybody, look, you better look now. So you know what to not let your bitch see. Yeah. Yeah. Look now so you know what to keep your bitch away from. You hear me? Yeah, man. You hear me? This motherfucking curl so drippy. If I take the shirt off, the shirt smack brand new, right? But if I take the shirt off, I already got a stain on the back of this motherfucker. You hear me?
Yeah,
man.
Yeah,
my God.
Hey, I knew he was going talking shit.
Yeah.
That's why I say, nah.
That was called the North Memphis V curl, man. North Memphis special, man. If you see this here, man, they came from North Memphis, nowhere else. This what they was trying to do in Hustle and Flow, but this is the perfection of it, brother. This with the V to it. I got to make sure you get that. Yeah. You see that? That's that V tour. That's what they missed out on in Hustle and Flow. They ain't quite get it right. Cause they ain't come to the, they should have got up with Ed Memphis keeping it pimping. You hear me? But it's all good. We'll shoot part two.
Shout out to the guy, man. Yo, I knew Ed was gonna give me a show, man. That's what I said, Ed got pull up, man. Shout out to Eru. Shit, Ed got Puerto Rican in his jeans. Man, shout out to the 265 that's watching right now. It's a couple people watching on Twitter too. There's a lot of people watching me. I appreciate all of y'all tuning in, man. Shout out to my guy Ed pulling up too. Definitely gonna be a regular stay on the SMYK podcast, man. I appreciate that. With that said, let's get to the Knicks, man. Shout out to Memphis, man. Everybody from Memphis too. I appreciate all the Memphis guys who pulls up and all the Memphis guys who show me love on Twitter. The Knicks, guy from Memphis, from North Memphis, diehard Knicks fan. How did that happen?
You know, Latrell Sprewell, when they went to the finals that year, that team on that playoff run, really during the season, I was starting to like, man, I like these kids. I like Sprewell. Which is crazy because he kind of scared me at first when I was a kid. It's crazy. But when he got to the Knicks and he had the swag with the eight, number eight with the braids, you know what I'm saying? Okay, yeah, he was like one of the cats from the hood. And, you know, at that age, I'm with 12 maybe, something like that. You know, that's when you first really coming into really being a true, you know, where you can have conversation about sports, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, them New York Knicks, that Latrell Sprewell Knicks team, bro, just the way he played, bro, he instantly became my favorite player. I'm talking about my growing up, I had two posters on the wall. I had Eddie George poster on the left side, and I had Latrell Sprewell poster on the right side. That was my shrine. Those two guys for me, you know, growing up. So, yeah, man, Latrell Sprewell, Knicks team. I loved out the whole roster, though. Allen Houston, Larry Johnson, of course, Marcus Camby, Chris Childs when he was on the roster. So, of course, it broke my heart when they traded him for trash ass Keith Van Horn and fucking Antonio McDyess coming off a fucking Achilles tear. Imagine that, man. One you trade a fucker because he broke his hand and lied to you about it. You
one of the worst trades of all time, man. He's one of the worst trades. I think the Antonio McDyess debacle, I think the Knicks like learned their lesson, But that that
nigga, we cursed. Nigga, it's been 25 years. Nigga ain't been to the final set. We still ain't broke the curse. Nigga, it's 25 years. It's okay to call it a curse, my guy. 25 years? How long do we have to wait before we call it a curse? It's the Sprewell curse, bro. It started here. You heard it here first on the State of New York, on the State of Knicks podcast, bro. Right here on SNYK, bro. This the Sprewell curse we up under. For us, for God, God has cursed us for abandoning and disrespecting the child, his son, that he blessed us with, who fell in our lap. We only got him because he slipped up.
Oh, shit.
You got blessed with him, and you slept on your blessing. So God had to show your ass, James Jimmy Dolan. Don't you ever train no baller like he ain't what the fuck he is. Now here your goofy ass is 25 years later, ain't sniffed the motherfucking finals. Sprewell curse, man. Sprewell curse.
Oh man. Like Sprewell curse, you got the Patrick Ewing curse, you know. For me, it was the Patrick Ewing curse for me. I just felt like the Knicks traded him, and once they traded him, they just started doing dumb shit for the next about 15 years or so. But it has changed. Since 2019, the Knicks culture has changed. Started with the signing of Julius Randle. You get RJ Barrett, and then you got 2019, you got David Fizdale and these guys. They go into the season. David Fizdale starts off 4-18. Then he gets fired. You got Mike Miller. I hate Mike Miller's guts. One of the worst coaches of all time. Fuck Mike Miller. I'm not even going to lie. I don't like that guy, man. He coached for his job. He did not give a shit about the New York Knicks. And him coaching his job made the Knicks pick Julius Randle's backup. You had to play Obi Toppin. Then you force fans by default to shit on Julius Randle because we're watching our eighth overall pick rot on the bench for this guy while he's sulking and playing like garbage. And it's like, bruh, come on. But they rectified that mistake. I think they made up for it with Precious. Precious, a guy from who played on Memphis Tigers.
Yep.
So I wanted you to talk about Precious and talk about his effect on the squad. I also wanted you to talk about your current feelings on the New York Knicks too. I don't think Knicks fans know how you feel about them right now and feel about the New York Knicks situation right now currently. As far as Julius Randle, he's hurt. You know, he's hurt. He's coming back soon. I believe he'll come back before this month ends. You got OG Anunoby. He just came back. You know, he shot a bad percentage last game, but it's cool. It's fine. It's no problem. Jalen Brunson, back-to-back 40-point games. You got Ihart, who played a good game last night. You know, he's been playing a couple trash games lately. I can't lie, but I don't get on the big German. I let him live. You got Dante DiVincenzo, Big Pazza, who's been shooting lights out, fourth Nick in NBA in Knicks history to make 200-plus threes. He's about to break Evan Fournier's record soon. You got him out there. Josh Hart, you know, superb playmaking the past couple of months. Past two, 3 months, he's unlocked his playmaking badges from 2K. He's been shooting better since we've been trying to cyberbully him on Twitter. Straight cyberbullying him, bro.
He done unlocked every badge.
That motherfucker. If you played NBA Live 2003, anybody who played Live 2003, they used to have 3-4 icons, right? It was a foot icon with the thunderbolt. You had the lock icon. You got the 3 icon. And then you had another icon for the dunk or some shit. You know, Josh Hart, this motherfucker playing like he got all 4. Like, Rasheed Wallace in 2003 NBA Live got all 4 icons. So it doesn't even fucking matter. So Yeah, man. Talk about the squad, man. How you feel about the squad as a whole, man? The floor is yours, man. Appreciate, once again, man, appreciate everybody who's in the chat. You know, I'm still like learning day by day basis on how to like do this on the fly. I'm actually doing pretty well. I'm doing pretty well. You know, I'm learning with each pod. Once again, Ed, I appreciate you pulling up, man. Hopefully you could be a mainstay. We could always have one of these, you know, once every 2 weeks we check in. You know, checking on Memphis, checking on the Knicks. You know, we got to do something regular, man. And people love you. I ain't gonna lie. People love you. But talk about the Knicks, man. Y'all take floor is yours, yo. My bad.
Oh, you good, bro, man. Yeah, I mean, shit. That $80 million started to look like a damn good deal, man, for Josh Hart. And as far as the trade, of course, man, I was sick to my stomach when they made the RJ trade, because I believe in RJ. You know, I feel like RJ, if we gave him a little more time, I felt like RJ was going to pan out just fine. But since the trade, bro, we can't argue that OG is clearly a better fit. It ain't even about the better player. Sometimes it's just about fit, and he's just a better fit. With this team. Now, it's going to be interesting because, God forbid, if something happens with Jalen Brunson, do we have the creator or any playmaking sufficient enough for us to hold off, and how long would that be? So that's a good, you know, that's a concern. I guess DiVincenzo would be the X factor for that with what we got currently anyway. But you know, that's definitely not a lot of depth there in terms of playmaking. So that's going to be interesting. I know we got Deuce McBride, but McBride is a playmaker, but not a facilitator playmaker. He's a playmaker in terms of making plays, making basketball plays. He might get the rebound, the clutch rebound, the clutch steal, make a bucket, or make a clutch defensive play. Great defender, by the way. But in terms of just being a reliable playmaker, McBride is not quite there yet. And I don't know how much of a ceiling he has in terms of getting there from where he is right now. So, yeah, that's going to be the question is, can we keep Brunson them healthy? Can Julius Randle get back in time and be healthy and sustained? Can OG Anunoby's elbow sustain? Because right now, this might be the best window we'll have in terms of going all the way and being able to compete for a championship. I think that we could do it. If there was anybody out of the East, I know a lot of people say Boston. I get it. But defensively, I think it's the Knicks. If it's anybody that can take on the Denver Nuggets in the finals, we have so much defense across the board, especially if we can get back everybody healthy enough. We have enough defense to slow down their offensive attack, which is what makes them so special. And we have just enough. Hopefully, we'll have just enough playmaking between Brunson and Randle to be able to pull this off. Now, Shake Milton is going to be very key in this run, because Shake has some of that on-ball shot creation playmaking. I've always liked Shake. Since Shake was in college, I think Shake was at Southern Miss, if I'm not mistaken. I like Shake. I knew Shake. We all knew Shake was supposed to be the first round pick because he played against, playing in the South. So we knew he was going to be a first round pick. But the problem was, should have been, he couldn't stay healthy. His medicals were really bad. Like, nobody thought Shake Milton's body would hold up the way it has so far, because he's been relatively healthy. He might have some nagging injuries here or there, but for the most part, he's been pretty healthy, especially considering what his medicals look like coming out of college. So, Shake Milton has that potential as a shot creator and a secondary playmaker, that he is going to be a very key cog in this situation. And Bohan, a lot of people, I get it. A lot of motherfuckers is not happy with the return of Bohan Bogdanovic right now. Bogdan, a hooper. I'm telling y'all, New York, man, don't get that shit twisted. Bruh is a hooper. I watched him for years because he played for Utah. So we had to go against him in a series with the Grizzlies here about 3 years ago. Man, that man hooping his ass off. Do not let that shit get y'all to. It's something called the law of averages, and y'all know that. Y'all know about the law of averages. Trust me, they will kick in as long as you keep him shooting the motherfucking ball. You're not going to win no championship with Bogdan sitting on the bench the whole time. I promise you that. So any motherfucker that feel like Bogdan was, he might not turn out to be the best trade for what you could have got for Quinn Grimes, especially realizing you could have probably got a Donovan Mitchell type motherfucker. But that's another conversation that's here nor there. But in grand scheme, is Bogdan going to be worth the risk? Was that worth it already? Hell yeah. Based on what he is? Hell yeah. He just got to stay healthy. As long as he stay healthy, man, y'all ain't got a word, brother. Bogdan going to put his foot in somebody's ass at some point. The law of average is going to kick in. So that's where I'm at right now on this team.
That's good. That's good, yo. That's a good take, yo. That's a good take, yo. My final question, because we're gonna definitely get up more. We're gonna definitely do more of these.
And I'm gonna say this about Bogdan. It's perfect.
Say what?
Huh?
Go ahead.
Hello.
Nah, you could go ahead, bro.
I was gonna say about Bogdan real quickly. Mm-hmm. It's almost a good thing that his juice didn't kick in at the same time as Antetokounmpo, because it would have been too good to be true. Our record is already damn near too good to be true. Some need to be a little off, right? For this shit to be real.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. So, it can't be all good.
Right. Just let's be real here, y'all. I'd rather him struggle now and get that shit out the way. Then him has came in right after trade, lights out, then come to playoffs, the motherfucker can't buy a shot.
Mm. Jesus. It sounds like a certain Knick player right now, but I'm not gonna say
Alec anything. Burks or something.
Yeah, he garbage. I don't even want to waste my time with Alec Burks.
Oh, shit.
Yo, I'm not wasting my time with you, Alec Burks.
Timu Kobe. Kobe.
Oh man, R.P. Kobe. Shout out to the great man. My last question to you: can the Knicks win a title this season? And also, do you think within the next 4 years we will see a Memphis Grizzlies versus New York Knicks NBA Finals? Or do you think the Memphis Grizzlies will probably be moved to the East by then, because you know they're trying to add two more teams to the NBA, you know, league expansion, because it's just so much goddamn fucking talent in the NBA. So how you feel about that?
Just how I look, they'll probably fuck us over somehow and keep us in the West. But, yeah, they'll be glad they put us in the East. East is a little smoother. But, as far as the Knicks winning a championship this year, yeah, like I said, I can see it if we all get healthy. If the Knicks team gets healthy enough, I can see it. Because defensively, they have enough. And offensively, they got some dogs that'll get you over that hump. Because, see, the main thing I always say is, it's the team's job. Like your role players and surrounding players, it's their job to keep you in a game towards the end. It's the all-star job to bring that motherfucker home to win it. So do they have a guy that can do that? I believe they now do in Jalen Brunson. We all believe it. So, and I'm pretty confident that's the case. So, I believe they can. Julius Randle's going to have to get back healthy, though. Especially when it comes time to dealing with Jokic. Rebounding with a Jokic. You already, and we ain't even talking about Aaron Gordon being down there. So, yeah, but that's where it's going to be key for Precious, too. And we didn't even speak about Precious. Precious, of course, watching him in Memphis, very talented player. Often gave us 20 and 10 nights. Very dominant as a freshman. Came in, was focused. We had a lot of turmoil at certain points in the season with Imani Bates on their roster. No, it wasn't Imani Bates. That was the year before. Imani Bates came with Jalen Duren. But Precious stayed focused and was able to keep producing and stuck with it. Never showed any weakness or showed any, you know, like character issues, even when it was turmoil around the program. So, Precious is definitely a focused, hungry young cat. Got that dog in him. Athletic, you know, got that 6'8 Mandingo frame, you know, and he's got a motor on him. That's the one of the most important. And even here, he was already starting to develop the touch on his shot. So I think that shot going to continue to improve over time here to where we can see him potentially become a reliable catch and shoot three-point shooter. I like that's going to be very key, Precious, in terms of dealing with Aaron Gordon in the playoffs. Because if they can figure out a way to get maybe have some runs where maybe for a breather, if when it's either Jalen Brunson or Josh Hart at the point, OG at the two, Precious at the three, Jew at the four, and Mitch at the five. They might even take Jew out and put Hardenstein and Mitch there. Then you got Precious, Mitch, and Hardenstein giving you a few minutes down there to get hard on Jokic, get hard on Aaron Gordon. So I definitely see them having the right. If they stay healthy, I think the Knicks, of course, and the Boston Celtics have it. But this the key with us. We got some real fucking certified dogs on this team. And I don't know for sure, how much dog the guys in Boston have now. Outside of Jrue Holiday and Al Horford, Xavier Tillman got a little dog, but he's not going to be much of an impact. But Derek White. But we got some real dogs. And fortunately for us, our biggest dog is also our best player, Jalen Brunson. And that gives us the advantage over Boston. Because when it's all said and done, our biggest dog is our best motherfucking player. So if you put him in front of Jason Tatum as of right now, if I had a gun in my head, I'm betting on Jalen Brunson.
Yo, JB, that boy cold. I'm telling you, that boy JB cold.
And his daddy was a dog. So it's in his blood.
Shout out Rick Brunson. Last question, and then I'm gonna let you get out of here because I know you got money to go get, you know, you got people to go see. You know, I appreciate you at least pulling up and coming on SNYK, man. And also the Memphis community, man. Shout outs to y'all, man. Everybody from Memphis who, you know, rock with Ed, man. This is a good guy right here, man. This guy, he always supported me. We never got into like a bad debate or anything like that. Actually came to my defense a couple times as well, like off the random too. Like, yo, what's up, man? Dudes want to be different, man. Y'all dudes all want to be the same. It's that third. So shout out to my guy Ed, man. This was much appreciated. And you know, the last and final question is, to get the way you at today, what do you think it takes?
Patience.
Mm-hmm.
Patience. And persistence. I say even what got me here, because patience wasn't my strength. Persistence got me here. Persistence got me here. Patience is getting me to the next level. But the combination of both, because the dog in me always had that persistence. So I say persistence first, because that's what truly I like to think of patience as the goal going forward, is the next step. But persistence has truly gotten in Memphis, if I'm being real.
Yeah, that's a great answer, yo. Because, yeah, shout out to Ed, man. And chat loving you, bro. I ain't gonna lie. And they also wanted to correct you.
Though. I love y'all, too, even though I know you motherfuckers. I like to talk shit. And y'all call me country. So I'm letting you know, man, I talk plenty of shit, swallow speak. So bring your ass. I talk shit about you motherfuckers, because I know y'all motherfuckers be 100,000 people in one fucking building. Maybe y'all motherfuckers be paying $10,000 a month. You be fucking living in a fucking one bedroom. You motherfuckers. I love talking shit about y'all, man. So bring your ass, motherfucker.
Oh, man. Yo, shout out to you, Ed, once again, man. I guess we got everything. Did I ask you the question that do you think the Knicks will win the championship this season?
I just answered it talking about because I think they'll I think they can if they stay healthy, because I think that we're the team that's truly built. A lot of people think it's Boston, but I really think it's the Knicks, and I told you why. Because of Brunson and if Randle found, and I think if Randle gets healthy, I think this, I'm glad Randle. The numbers say this is, if Randle stay healthy, this is gonna be the final. This is gonna be the playoffs where Randle finally shows the fuck up. So it's almost a good thing to us that he didn't quite show up when we weren't there yet, because now that we here, it's time for him to show up according to the previous playoff seasons for Julius. So if he stay healthy, we stay healthy. I think they got enough. This team, the Knicks team, is the one that's built to beat the Nuggets. It's not Boston. Boston got the talent, the cute little pieces, the link, got the nice little names, the, you know, they got all that. But when it comes to the stardom, matching the motherfucking dog, the New York Knicks got that. And you ain't got that wearing no motherfucking lucky green.
Ooh, yo, shouts to my guy Ed, man, pulling up, man. This was a great one, Ed.
Well, bitch.
Ed, man. Once every 2 weeks, we gotta talk, man. I gotta send you more of my information, man. We gotta talk some business too. You know, I'm actually in the liquor store, like really in a liquor store. So we definitely gotta talk some business. But this was a great pod, man. I had a lot of fun. Definitely check in on you. You know, once every 2 weeks, try to get this consistently going. And I think New York Knicks fans would appreciate hearing the country voice, man, and that down south flavor talking that down south shit. But with that said, what do you leave the people with? And I also want you to plug in your podcast, what you working on, what you got coming soon, any music that you got coming out. coming out. Anybody from Memphis, anything you wanted to shout out, anything that's coming up, any new events, it doesn't matter what the fuck it is, but I want you to shout it out right now. Once again, I got Ed, the creator of the Knicks Twitter thread that all Knicks fans is on, and you've seen it for years. Yeah, this is the guy right here. This is the guy right here in the flesh. So, Ed, once again, man, I appreciate you pulling up, man. The floor is yours. Talk to the people, brother.
Man, appreciate you, Stay. Appreciate you again having me. I will say this. If it's anything, I always tell people, bro, no matter what you're going through, if you able to watch this podcast, you got a chance. Because however you watch this motherfucker, you alive and you got Wi-Fi or some type of internet connection. So you got to figure out what God gave you in terms of a gift to capitalize and take advantage of that Wi-Fi and that motherfucking brain that God gave you that was unlike any other brain he ever designed before. Figure out what works for you, what you love to do, what you can be the most creative doing, what you willing to wake up and fight for and do that. I don't give a fuck if it's a porn star. If you know you're going to wake up and fuck the hardest and you're going to fight the hardest to fuck, be a porn star. Whatever the fuck it is. I always tell people that. And I also say, man, you know, if as long as me, I wake up every day and say, man, if I'm alive and I'm free and I got Wi-Fi, man, I can't complain. I can take it from there. Just I'm alive and with good health and I'm free. Good health and freedom, bro. We can take it from there. So whatever we going through, no, man, it's somebody who came from nothing, bro. We can take it from there, bro, truly. So, yeah, make sure that you stream Ed Memphis music because that's how I make my main money. That's how I pay this child support, keep this child support on my ass. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man, make sure you stream Ed Memphis on your music apps. So you type in Ed Memphis. You know how that is, man, on your Apple Music and all that shit. Make sure you check me out. Got a new project, new tape coming out soon. That motherfucker called Harry Bush and Good Mead. I'll be doing a bunch of your social media hip-hop platforms. You'll be seeing me circulating them soon. So, yeah, man, make sure you follow in the Ain't It Main podcast, Ain't It Main content on social media. It's at SayMain901. On YouTube, it's at SayMain901 as well. SayMain, M-A-N-E, 901. And also Ed Memphis 6974 on YouTube too. That's the Ed Memphis channel. And then yeah, just Google Ed Memphis or whatever, man. Ain't It Main content. Actually, we got a film here, a little short film we put together. Actually gonna be a little comedy. So we'll be talking about all that shit going forward. But we create content over here with Ain't It Main Media, Square Business Media, Ain't It Main content. So, yeah, man, be in the tune, man. Make sure you stream the Ed Memphis. Make sure you follow this Twitter page, SayMain901. Make sure you follow that motherfucker. Keep yourself in tune. We giving away shit all the time. We showing love to the people. We giving blessings and good game, man, along the way, man. We put back in this earth what we want, what we've already gotten out of this earth. You know what I'm saying? I feel like I owe these motherfuckers some shit. Just for what I've already received in terms of my blessings. If I don't get another blessing, I feel like that. And then also in terms of what I do want in terms of future blessings, I put my blessings out there early. Because in order to get a blessing, you got to give. You got to give first, man. Give to get, man. You know what I'm saying? Be a blessing to receive a blessing, man. Square business, man. I'm going to leave you with that, man. Ed Memphis, keeping it pimping. One time since the beginning, Memphis Tenny. You hear me?
Yo, I appreciate you, Ed. Once again, man, my guy, Ed. Thank you, yo. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much, man, pulling up, man. Swaggy, Memphis aura. You know, I'm coming in with the Harlem aura. I appreciate that, man. And plus, I also appreciate everybody who pulled up today. It was a great show, you know. I'm going to get out of here. My guy, Ed Memphis, man, y'all appreciate you, King, once again. God blessed all of us, man, and we're going to keep having these blessings, man. But once again, I'm out of here. It's your boy, State of the New York Knicks podcast. And let's go, man. Peace out, man. Peace out, everybody, man. Really do appreciate the 388 people that's watching right now. That's fucking insane, yo. I really do appreciate all of y'all. Y'all don't know how much this means to me. But I'm out of here, man. It's your boy, man. State of the New York Knicks podcast, man. Peace out, man.